You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that will introduce you to Bosnia and Herzegovina, that heart-shaped but much misunderstood country in the Western Balkans. I'm David Petrinovic Bailey, and I'm inviting you to join me as we explore this beautiful country from a unique perspective. In each episode, I'll share my personal experiences and insights as an immigrant living in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and together we'll peel back the layers and uncover the true essence of this often misunderstood nation. But it's not just about me. I'll also be introducing you to some of the incredible people I've met along the way, sharing their stories, their passions, and their perspectives, giving us a deeper understanding of this captivating land. From the vibrant towns and cities to the picturesque countryside, we'll embark on a journey to discover the rich culture, history, and traditions of the country. We'll visit and immerse ourselves in the lively festivals, taste mouth-watering cuisine, and explore the hidden gems that make this area so extraordinary. Through thoughtful conversations, engaging anecdotes, and a genuine love for this place I now call home, An Englishman in the Balkans offers a fresh perspective on the life in this enchanting corner of the world. So, whether you're a travel enthusiast, a culture junkie, or simply curious about life in the Balkans, this podcast is for you. Join me as we uncover the beauty, the diversity, and the untold stories of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Subscribe now and get ready for an adventure like no other. One of the things I love most about living here in Bosnia and Herzegovina is that everyday conversations often become stories. And this one began with a tray of freshly made baklava sitting on our kitchen table. Now, I've eaten baklava in a few different countries over the years, but I've never really thought about what goes into making it. As it turns out, quite a lot. Layers of pastry, clarified butter, walnuts, syrup, and, if you're making it for the very first time, a fair amount of patience as well. Tamara recently decided she wanted to learn how to make baklava properly, inspired by our friends in Zenica, and especially Senad's mother, whose baklava has become something of a legend in our circle. What follows wasn't planned. We simply sat down together over coffee while sampling the results, and I switched on my recorder. It's an easygoing conversation about recipes, family traditions, little kitchen hacks, and why some things are worth learning simply because they bring people together. I hope you enjoy it. So what made you make the most complicated, time-consuming dessert in the country?
It's not, actually. It's pretty simple.
Well, it didn't seem simple to me.
Yeah, I know, because I didn't have a proper pan to make it. But it's not all of that hard, but you have to know how to make it. So I found a recipe. I'm actually waiting for a recipe.
From whom?
From Senad's mother, our friend's mother from Zenica. And who made me do it? They made me do it.
How do you mean they made you do it?
Because, I don't know, when I met them, you know, they like it, so I like to make one when they come to see us.
Uh-huh.
I like to learn how to make it. And Senad's mother makes the best baklava ever. I tried so many baklavas, that's the number one. No one makes like that.
I shouldn't speak with my mouth full. But hers did taste exceptionally well.
Yes, and it was nice and soft and just perfect.
So what is...
Not too sweet. Top.
So what is it supposed to be? I mean, I've had baklava in Afghanistan, in Turkey, and here in BIH. And I've always found that the baklava in Afghanistan was very, very dry, and to an extent in Turkey. But here there's always, what do you call it, agda?
Agda, yes. They do the same thing, but maybe they don't put too much agda. I think agda, it's a sugar. That's what gives the taste.
How do you make agda?
You usually mix equal amount of sugar and water, and you boil it 6 to 8 minutes. You boil it, and then that's it. That's the syrup.
So you made that little video of you putting agda over the baklava at the end.
And you're supposed to make agda first, to let it cool off. And you put, when baklava comes out of the oven, baklava is hot, agda must be cold.
That's why it's sizzled.
Sizzled, yes. If it's sizzling, You did a good job. If it's no sizzle, no good.
Now, I know that you spend a lot of time grinding down the walnuts, right?
No.
Were they already done?
I have a hack.
What's your hack?
You use a, how do you say, blender. Not the blender, the chopper.
Chopper.
Food chopper. Yeah.
Okay, so you chop down the walnuts.
Yeah, I didn't use the old style machine.
Right. Now, normally, when we went to...
It's nicer when they are roughly chopped.
When we went to visit our friends on the mountainside that day, I think it was Savina was making like that very, very thin pastry that she uses for burek.
Mm-hmm. She made crispy burek.
Yeah.
It's very good.
So is that the same pastry that you use?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure because I bought the pastry. I don't make my own pastry.
It's called yufka, right? Yufka.
Yufka, yes. But when you buy the pastry, they have different types. Like they have for pita, they have for baklava. Like there are different types of pastries.
So you bought a lot. I remember you bought 3 or 4 packets.
No, I didn't.
You
know? What's wrong with you there today?
When I'm walking around the store.
I only bought one packet.
Really?
Yes, 500 grams. That's all you need for this recipe.
Okay. So quickly talk me through how you do it. You get a pan.
So you get a pan. And my baklava turned out to be a little bit thin. This is the first time I actually made baklava ever. So I'm really happy with the results, considering that it's my first time. So what you need a pan, and then you need the pastry, and you measure your pastry, because the pastry should be the size of the pan, then you cut it. You cut the pastry according to the pan, and then you put one layer, the first row. Can I put my leg here?
Mm-hmm.
The first row of layers, you put 4 pastries, but in between you put butter, melted butter. But I made the ghee, clarified butter, because they say if you just put a butter, then the milk solids, they burn very easily, and then you can see it on baklava, and it tastes really weird. So I made a ghee, and I used the ghee for baklava. Maybe that's a trick as well. Some people mix butter and oil, but in this recipe...
So how many layers of pastry?
So the first layer, the bottom layer, you should use four layers.
Just for the bottom?
Just for the bottom.
So that's like a thick bottom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when you do them, you put one, then you put layer of a little bit of butter, then you spread with with your brush. Mm-hmm. Then you do the second the same way until the fourth, and then you put the mixture of walnuts. Some people put breadcrumbs and sugar, but in this recipe, it's just walnuts. And then you put walnuts, you spread them evenly, and then you only put 2 layers of phyllo pastry. So you put one layer, and then you put a little bit of butter, and then you put the second layer. But instead of using the layer, you have to use all the pastry, otherwise it's a waste. So I use the cut one, because you can't really see it. So I use the cut pastry that I use to measure the... If David's stories have made you curious about this quieter corner of Bosnia, come and stay with us at House Victoria. We have a comfortable 2-bedroom holiday apartment in the countryside near Banja Luka, with plenty of space to relax and explore. We live here too, so we are always happy to share local ideas. Visit anenglishmaninthebalkans.com, click Stay in Bosnia, and contact us directly through the booking form. Pan, remember?
Mm-hmm. So basically,
so I put it on top.
So basically,
first layer is 4, and the last layer is 4. 4 phyllo pastries, but everything in between is 2.
Oh, this is so delicious. So if you were in Britain and you couldn't go to a shop that sold yufka, use phyllo pastry.
Pardon me?
If you were in England and you couldn't buy yufka in a store like you can here, you could use phyllo pastry instead.
Yes, but it needs to be for baklava, I think. Not every pastry is good, which I learned. And Sanad mother's using, which I'm not going to tell. She's using a specific pastry. It's the best one. Because pastry plays the major role in this.
And when you put it together, then you put the agda over the top when you've baked it.
When it's baklava, it's hot, comes out of the oven, then you put cold agda on top.
And then you wait.
And then you wait.
Like we were
and
getting...
you should wait. Like we couldn't wait. I tried.
No, I was going to say yesterday you were just so
but
impatient.
You should wait at least a day. The longer the sit, the baklava is better. That's what they say. It's like wine, you know, the older the better. Like me.
The older
the better.
So we let it stay. and then you cut it. But you don't cut it.
No, you cut it before you bake it.
Right.
You have to cut it before you bake it. I sent you pictures, didn't I?
No, I got some pictures of it. But you didn't do it in squares, did you? You sort of like do it in diagonals.
In rhomboids. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Is that traditional, like a rhomboid?
Yeah, that's traditional. That's how it should be cut.
Well, I'm eating this and I shouldn't be speaking with my mouth full, but it is what it is.
Is it good? But I know where I made mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because to bake baklava in this recipe, it says 180 Celsius for 40 to 45 minutes or 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the color. But then when I did a little bit of research, they say baklava is better if it's if you dry it slowly. So if you bake it longer on lower heat. So I did it 150 for 1 hour, but I kept one pastry on top so it doesn't burn, which I made mistake. Then I have to do it another 10 minutes on 180 to become golden brown. And I think I overbaked it. That's why it's not that soft.
Well, you've just described this, but we have a baker's near the bridge, not far from where we live, and they sell baklava, but they sell baklava with yabulka, with apples.
Yeah, they make all different kinds.
Is that a new thing?
I don't know. There's different types of baklava. For example, some people make it with dry shliva, which is dry plums.
Yeah.
That is so good. That's very rich, like it's really, really good. Lily, my mother made it once. It was really good.
But the Ottomans wouldn't have made it like that, I don't think.
I don't know. There's different types. Like, I think Greeks, they put cinnamon, they put raisins in theirs. But I'm not sure.
It's a different
type. You can make baklava rolls. There's another type like ružice as well. It's similar to baklava. But it's like little rolls.
And you've got all your tips and tricks from TikTok and Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, I watched many videos to learn. But I think I'm really happy for my first baklava. I know where I made a mistake. I need to buy a new pan because this one is way too big. And the woman that made the recipe didn't say how big the pan should be for amount of the ingredients she uses.
When you feel that you've got the skill together, you're going to make it. We'll take it to Zenitsa.
Yes.
How will you be feeling when you put it on the table there?
I'm going to make one for Senad's mother and I'm going to say, please try my baklava. I will feel proud of me. That will be the best baklava made in Republika Srpska.
Yeah, but you've got, it's in your DNA, isn't it? The Turkish genes.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Probably. My Turkish genes are sleeping somewhere inside of my body and they come out, you know, when we have a dernek in Zenica.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed recording it. For me, conversations like this are one of the real joys of living here. They remind me that culture isn't only found in museums or history books, but more often it's passed from one generation to the next around a kitchen table through recipes, stories, and shared meals. I'm fairly sure this won't be the last time Tamara experiments with baklava, and something tells me that Senad's mother will eventually be asked to judge the next attempt. If you'd like to see some photographs of the finished baklava, along with a few thoughts from me about the conversation, well, you'll find them in this week's Sunday edition on Substack, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. As always then, thank you for listening. And until next time, do take good care of yourself. Vidimo se opet.
Before we go, if you've enjoyed traveling with David today and would like to help him continue telling these stories from Bosnia, you can support the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee. Your support also includes a complimentary paid subscription to Coffee and Rakia, where you will receive even more stories from everyday life here in Bosnia. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon.